ओम नमो भगवते। तो टुडे इज द थर्ड डे ऑफ आवर योगा साधना कैंप। तो ऑन दिस डे वी विल कंसंट्रेट ऑन बुक 3, बुक 4, बुक 5, बुक 6 एंड बुक 7। सो हियर इज द मदर्स मैसेज। फर्स्ट आई विल रीड। Every time I read Savitri, I feel as if I am reading it for the first time, really. It is not that I understand differently. It is that it is the completely new. I never read it before. It is odd. It's at least the fourth time I read it. So mother is speaking that whenever she reads Savitri, she feels as if she is reading it for the first time. And truly there is everything in it. All the things I have discovered lately were there, and I had not seen it. It is odd. The first time I read it was a revelation. It hung together perfectly well from beginning to end. The first time I read it was a revelation. It hung together perfectly well from beginning to end, and I felt I had understood. I did understand something. The second time I read it, I said to myself, but this is not the same thing as what I read. It hung together. It made up a whole. And I understood something else. Then recently when I read, at every passage I said to myself, how new this is and how the things I have found since are there. Today again, that is how it is, as if I read it for the first time, and it puts me into contact with the things I have just discovered. It is a miraculous book. The mother laughs. We will continue in the same way. So the mother speaks that we are having in the synthesis, we are having a formula of immortality, that is perpetual reborn is the condition of physical immortality. So like that, the each time we read Savitri, we find something new, discover something new. Now we'll come to the book 3 and canto 1, that is Pursuit of the Unknowable. So in the book 2, King Ashwapati, in the book 2, he explored different planes of consciousness and finally arrived at the supramental plane. And in the book 3, from supramental he entered the supreme self. In Book 3, Canto 1, The Pursuit of the Unknowable. In Book 3, Canto 1, King entered a state of consciousness beyond supramental, and this absolute static state of divine, we may call as bliss self, supreme self, Turiya state, uncreating, uncreated and unborn, the one by whom all live, who lives by none. Its dynamic state is not revealed here. In this book 3, the one canto 1, we find the static state of the supreme self. The king was able to enter this absolute plane after bridging the gulf between this world and supramental world, about which we get hint from previous book 2 canto 3. So the narration is like this: the world of bliss he saw, King Ashwapati saw and felt its call, but found no way to enter into its joy. Across the conscious gulf there was no bridge. So till the supramental was not established, all those planes, they were coming briefly to King Ashwapati. So here this gives the message that we have to move the consciousness and bridge the gulfs. If we can bridge the gulf, then all the planes will be accessible to us. It saw afar the unreached immortal home and heard afar the voices of the gods. Far off he saw joining hemispheres, but who that mightiness was he knew not yet, but what that was no thought, no sight could tell. So here, from a distance, King was seeing the supramental world, but unable to reach that world. These are the descriptions. So through movement of consciousness only, that bridge, that gulf can be bridged. How can we enter this world of bliss through movement of consciousness? Through the four letters, waking self, subliminal self, dream self, or Hiranyagarbha, three supramental self, sleep self, Kajalpati, Susupti. Fourth is supreme self, Turiya, the consciousness of pure self-existence. We climb back through trance or deep meditation to absolute divine plane. So these planes one can visit in trance. In non-waking trance, one can visit these planes. So this canto gives the message to a sadhak that is the message to a sadhak that by realization of static supreme self, one will recoil from the world problem and escape into supreme abode of Paramdham. And by dynamization of supreme self through prolongation of static realization, the world problems can be resolved and untransformed nature can be divinized. This is the message. So in traditional yoga, after a sadhaka realizes the supreme self, he has no task. But in integral yoga, there is a big task. After realization of supreme self, he has to call down this, it's a dynamic realization to the world in order to transform this material world. So its most important secrets are the cave of darkness guards the eternal light. King saw that here the eternal light is the subconscient and inconscient self. And he saw that before finding the subconscient and inconscient self, there is a darkness and which guards this eternal light. Then there is nothing could satisfy but its delight. Its supreme self's absence left the greatest action dull. Its presence made the smallest seem divine. So if the supreme self is absent, then the greatest action has no meaning. Here Sri Aurobindo speaks. And if the supreme self is present in a very smallest work, then that is of great importance. And also how the supreme self is very important. So here Sri Aurobindo described, without this divine presence, the world lived empty of its mission. All things have no charm, no glory, no brightness, which can be compared as love after the beloved's demise. So this Savitri proposes that we should call down the supreme self to our heart center and permanently establish it. If it is not done, then this life has no meaning, no charm, no glory, no brightness, and which can be compared as love after the beloved's demise. The delight of this supreme self can satisfy life utterly. Its absence left the greatest action dull. Its presence made the smallest action seem divine. When it was their heart's abyss, this desire soul was fulfilled, purified, transformed, and perfected. So that is why Supreme Self is so important for us. Then we come to Book 3, Canto 2, The Adoration of Divine Mother. So here the Supreme Self is dynamized. The Book 3, Canto 2 begins with the vast static silence, state of Supreme Self, Turiya, Bliss Self, which can abolish and swallow the burdening tamasic need, the rajasic censor, and limited sattvic knowledge without transforming that life. In the static self, it cannot transform that life. It can destroy falsehood, but it cannot transform falsehood in the Supreme Self. In this state, ego is dead with boundless silence of the Supreme Self, but oblivious of Supreme Self's power and world-transforming mission. This realization is an escape from life's problem and does not bring victory and crown of integral yoga. This realization does not define the mystery of avatar's divine birth and divine action, leaving the unbroken last chapter sealed and still the last inviolate secret and the last bare step is hidden. By pressure of static Supreme Self, the soul's ignorance is slain, but not the soul. In absolute silence, the static Supreme realization and absolute power sleeps, and the sadhaka's task is to awaken the trance-bound soul linked with the static realization and make the world a vessel of spirit force and the mold the clay into the God's perfect self. This is the task of sadhaka of integral yoga, that he has to dynamize the Supreme Self he has to mold this clay into God's perfect self. So if the Supreme Self is dynamized, then here the king met the Divine Mother, Supreme Mother, Creatrix Mother, she met. The dynamic state of Supreme Self perfects the action of psychic being, spiritual being, and supramental being. Its influence reduces or silences the demand of desire soul. It turns all parts of the being towards single-minded quest and single-minded opening towards the Divine Mother consciousness. And it establishes the bliss consciousness in all the parts of the being and becoming. The speciality of this canto is the manifestation of Supreme Self's dynamic divine love, which can transform without slaying the desire soul surrounding psychic being and can transform the darkness of subconscious and inconscient seeds. This is the speciality that if the Supreme Self is dynamite, then it will not destroy the falsehood. It will transform them. It will not destroy the, it will not slay the desire soul, but transform it. The divine love is a supremely affirmative dynamic energy defined as lover's everlasting yes, which can transform inconscient, subconscious negations, known as everlasting no. Without rejecting and destroying them, without slaying, the soul's ignorance can transform the wheel of earth's doom, known as cosmic wheel. It can bear the cross of pain with joy, transcends all creation but denies none, and can annul the sorrow and ignorance depth. It can turn pain into ecstasy, confront and conquer death, and transform falsehood. Before its presence, error of mind and wrong action cannot materialize. All discords of life move towards harmony. All darkness of suffering is healed, and the divine love can transform, superseding earlier static divine realization, which can cross and silence the many longing desires of mind, life, and body. So this is the famous line, wrong could not come where all was light and love. This is this, the Supreme Mother's love, where there will be no wrong. And there will be no error in the mind also. This canto gives the sadhaka the task that after stabilization of this consciousness in the psychic, spiritual, and universal planes, He has to ascend to enter the Supreme Self in absolute silence and dynamizes it to meet the Supreme Mother in her personal form. This will help him to receive the fourth divine call of Para Prakriti's union with Apara Prakriti of transforming the nether subconscious and unconscious seat. So there is a wonder of Ambrose Divine that is there in the Savitri. So below the wonder of Ambrose Divine is there. So that is the experience of subconscious self and conscious self. Now we'll come to Book 3, Canto 3, the House of the Spirit and New Creation. In the Book 3, Canto 3, the king was able to dynamize the supramental force of having four consequences through downward look and by embracing all existence. They are identified as new creation, first, second is extinction of suffering, third is oneness with the existence, and fourth is transformation of subconscious and unconscious. So in the whole of Savitri, Sri Aurobindo gave importance to this subconscious and unconscious transformation, because the key of world problem is there, and it is a very big work, huge work. So after King realized the supramental mother, so these four things. He developed. One is new creation, other is extinction of suffering, then oneness with the existence and transformation of subconscious and unconscious seeds. So here in this canto, Sri Aurobindo projected that the transformation of desire is the last and mightiest transformation. Then lest a human cry should spoil the truth, he tore desire off from its bleeding roots and offered to the gods the vacant place. Thus could he bear the touch immaculate. A last and mightiest transformation came. So to transform desire is identified here as the mightiest transformation of the king or Ashwapati. Similar mighty transformation is also described in this. In conversation with death and Savitri. That is, the world's darkness has consented to heaven's light. This is page 664. When the mighty transformation came in Savitri, that world's darkness had consented to heaven's light. So here also one message is there the message, the Mahamantra of Savitri is the virgin who commenced perfected by joy. And there is a complementary of this message in this canto, that the virgin forms through which formless signs. So here Sri Aurobindo confirmed that the formless, the divine signs through a virgin form. So we have to purify our mind, life, body, and to such extent that the formless, the divine will shine in that body, that mind, that life, everywhere. The divine will shine. Now we'll come to Book 3, Canto 4, the vision and the boon. So in Book 3, Canto 4, the king Ashwapati entered a supramental world. And through a supramental vision made the mighty face of the divine mother in his heart. This also symbolizes that king's psychic being is supramentalized. So here in the Book 7, Canto 5, we find that the Savitri's psychic being was supramentalized. Here also in this vision and boon, we find that King Ashwapati's psychic being was supramentalized. This is the line, and influence had approached the mortal range A boundless heart was near his longing heart. A mystic form enveloped his earthly shape. The one he worshipped was within him now. The Divine Mother discouraged King to call down the immeasurable divine force, and man is not ready to bear the infinite weight. She asked King to leave with the slow-paced evolution of humanity and accept godlike toil for earth and man with patience. She further informed that the static soul realization and influence of three gunas have made the world estranged from life and thought. The Divine Mother describes elaborately the limitation of present humanity who cannot reconcile heaven with earth. The Infallible Guide leads all the souls through stumble and failure and till they discover their psychic being, rest and earthly ease are forbidden. So Divine Mother told King that he should have patience and he should reconcile his swift evolution of his own swift spiritual evolution with the slow evolution of the human race. And for that he has to wait patiently for long years. And the Divine Guide leads all souls through stumble and failure until they discover their psychic being. Rest and earthly ease are forbidden. So here this is the message that if one wants to find the self, for him the rest and earthly ease are forbidden. That means he should act ceaselessly and he should renounce all the sense enjoyment. So this is a task given those who want to find their psychic being. So those who discover psychic being will know that they can work tirelessly and they can reject all the transient enjoyments they can reject. If one can work ceaselessly and think also ceaselessly through divine wisdom, then that is the sign that he has found the psychic being. There is no rest for the embodied soul, forbidding to him rest and earthly ease. Till he has found himself, he cannot pause. And King's mission was a pure perfection and shadowless bliss. So this was the mission of the king. So he wanted for all humanity, in spite of their fault, in spite of their limitation and narrowness. So he wanted for all humanity. And he prayed Divine Mother to grant the whole of humanity a pure perfection and shadowless bliss. The Divine Mother was satisfied with King's tapasya, ascesis and conscription and agreed to incarnate her living form on earth, and she shall break the iron law, change nature's doom by the lone spirit's power. So the king's experience also, this experience also is repeated in Savitri and Satyavan. And their meeting symbolizes the union between Supreme Mother and Supreme Purusha in our heart center as incarnate dual power. In the next canto, we shall witness the secret of the Divine Mother's earthly embodiment, which the Lord of the Gita confirms as that my birth and my work are both divine. Janma karma chame divyam is the symbol of Paraprakriti's movement in earthly embodiment, which is a column and shaft of fire and light. And Satyavana's birth is a symbol of Paramatma's earthly incarnation of unknown lover. And their meeting symbolizes the union between Supreme Mother and Supreme Purusha in our heart center as incarnate dual power. Their task is to repeat King Ashwapati's following subconscious transformation experience. So this is the experience King experienced, and this experience repeated in Savitri and Satyavan. A divinizing stream possessed his veins His body cells awoke to spirit sense. Each nerve became a burning thread of joy. Tissue and flesh partook in beatitude, allied the dawn on plumped subconscient cares, thrilled with the prescience of our longed for trade, and filled with flickering crests and praying tongues. So this canto also proposes a sadhak to become a wanderer from the occult invisible suns, substituting the earlier habit of outer wandering. King Ashwapati's outer wandering reduced after his realization of universal self. Our humanity framed his movement less and less. This we notice in Savitri after she discovered divine lover from without in the form of Satyavana. She declared firmly, now of more wandering it has no need. So after discovering Satyavana, Savitri declared that now of more wandering it has no need. So this is the message of so integral yoga. In integral yoga, this outer wandering is not encouraged. Now we will come to book 4, canto 1, the birth and childhood of the flame. This canto symbolically represents the mystery of Godhead's birth. The divine mother, when incarnated in an earthly body, her birth, childhood, youth, and rest of her life are guided by the influence of higher nature, Paraprakriti. Deluded souls do not understand this mystery of divine birth and consider desire as the sole cause of world existence. So in the mother's womb, Savitri spent 5 thoughtful seasons of 10 months before her mighty birth in the spring season. Here seasons of summer, monsoon, autumn, winter, due time, and springtime are described not as dead mechanical cycle, but as living deity, the force of the divine mother who participated in building the physical frame of Savitri. Savitri's growth in the mother's womb took place by a mightier influx that filled the oblivious clay. And after her birth, her dim cave of subconscient and inconscient seeds were flooded with slow, conscient light. Her lovelier body was formed by the new descent of divine love and new delight. Her sense was purified by the pressure of psychic being. Invisible supramental sunlight ran through her veins, and the same light flooded her brain with heavenly brilliances. So Savitri's throughout her birth period also and young period also, this divine force worked. This Paraprakriti, she was completely possessed by Paraprakriti. Now we'll come to the growth, book 4, canto 2, growth of the flame. This canto gives the account of Savitri's state of consciousness of young divinity. Then to the state of consciousness of our followers and devotees, then the gulf between Savitri and our followers, fourth, a desperate attempt to bridge those gulfs. So spiritual fall down and discouragement of the gathering together of devotees for divine purpose. So here Sri Aurobindo describes that when Savitri is young as came, so many were attracted towards her and they became devotees. So, but there remained always a gulf between Savitri and her followers. There was considerable gulf. And Savitri also tried desperately to bridge those gulfs, but it was not possible. And also those who met Savitri and were unable to hold her divine presence, so they experienced spiritual fall. This is also described. And lastly, Sri Aurobindo described that two great souls are discouraged to gather around him any admirers, any followers or devotees, because that is a waste of time. So Sri Aurobindo advised that the great souls should utilize their time and space only to accumulate spiritual energy, and through that accumulation they do good of the humanity. So there is a long description of all this, so we are having no time to. So we'll only discuss a little of it. A distance severed her from those most close. So since Savitri was living in transcendent consciousness, so those who are very close to her, they at the same time live a, they are very distant from our consciousness. And some were touched, caught fire, then fell. So those who touch got the touch of Savitri, their psychic being opened. And then after some time it closed because their vessel was not ready for the fire, that constant fire, living fire. Now we'll come to the Book 4, Canto 3, The Call to the Quest. So here the king again confirmed his mission to earth and man related with shadowless bliss. Again, the mighty yearning raised its flame that asked perfect line on earth for man and prays for the certainty in the uncertain mind, and shadowless bliss for suffering human hearts and truth embodied in an ignorant world and Godhead divinizing mortal forms. The king got the overhead direction or from some far sky of thought which was received by the echoing passages of his brain. And this overhead wisdom left its stamp on the recording cells of the king, and his dim ignorant cells and the blind brain received a divine transformation. The king got a blueprint of how he will realize the mission from above. So in here the king was the king was the father and guru of Savitri, and he gave Savitri double task because King Ashwapati by his vision came to know that the work Savitri has come to do cannot be done by all alone. So there is another soul. There is another soul has taken birth, who is equal, whose soul strength is equal with Savitri. So Savitri and Satyavanas, their character is that their soul and nature both are equally divinized. Soul is divinized, nature is also divinized. That means they were living in the para prakriti by the influence of para prakriti from their very birth. So the king gave the double task of finding the divine without and within. So this is the task given to Savitri, that she has to find the divine without and the divine within. Firstly, she will tread a brief golden path with her second self, Satyavana, the lyricist of her soul's most intimate chords, mover of her force and guide. His light will guard her from without and within, and by holding his strong hand, she can confront life's extreme adversity. Secondly, she has to discover her psychic being, where the supramental mother can choose to stay permanently, and with the power of the psychic being, she can tread a sunlit path, followed by a journey in the abysmal night, dream twilight of subconscious plane, permanent rise of consciousness to Sachidananda plane, and permanent descent of Sachidananda consciousness by returning to earth life along with Satyavan. After Savitri knew that the unknown lover was waiting for her, the unknown, the palace of Matra became empty, and its sweetness, the sovereign of daily joys of life, went far. Her moonbeam feet touched not the lucent floors. The beauty and divinity were gone. Delighted fled to search for another spacious world and future home. So the palace of Matra became obsolete after Savitri came to know that her unknown lover is waiting in distant land. This is a very important message for a sadhak. Then Book 4, Canto 4, The Quest. So before discovering divine within, Savitri had to discover her divine without. Before this divine call, the attraction of Madras spacious hall, white carved pillars, the cool dim alcoves, the tinged mosaic of the crystal floors, the towered pavilions, the wind rippled pools, and the gardens humming with murmurs of bees became pale, unwanted, and obsolete. So the Madras, all the attraction of the Madras, they became obsolete for her. Savitri leaves the palace in search of the only Lord who can hold her comprehensive divine love, delight, and beauty, collaborate in fulfilling her divine mission, which is a manifestation of divine will, and call down divine wisdom, truth, and light to guard her mission's diamond throne, and adventure ahead in consciousness like a pioneer to manifest the divine life. He, the destined lover, will give voice to what in her is mute and the lyricist of our soul's most intimate chords. So by the directive of his father, this Savitri went to the world in search of her unknown lover. So when he went outside, he roamed. So this canto proposes a sadhak that before wearing the face of Satyavan to receive Savitri's full divine love, he must develop, integrate the following 12 exclusive attributes. So while searching her unknown lover, Savitri met 12 kinds of liberated souls, but they were unfit to hold her comprehensive love, divine love. Among the above 12 types of great exclusive liberated souls, Savitri was unable to discover her soul's companion, who was a symbol of comprehensive divine love. Still, she found not the one predestined face for which she sought amid the sons of men. Thus, in Savitri's life, many months passed without discovering Satyavan. Satyavan is the Paramatma in material embodiment. She has not lost hope and waited for the opportune moment for the destined meeting. Now we'll come to book one, 5, canto 1. So this is the destined meeting place. So this canto proposes that Savitri has to receive the divine love from without, from within, and from above. They will bring complete fulfillment of her earth life, and her mission of transforming earth will be expedited, which is her long pending issue of all life. This canto confirms that all happening of the past, present, and future life are not accidental, but there exists a divine plan. And all events happen in cosmic play, in a foreseen time and place. This canto also proposes a sadhaka to become ascetic within. So those who will do integral yoga, they have to become ascetic first, within, symbolized as a soul retiring from the world, and solitude far from the world. And with the realization of Brahma, Satya, Jagat, Mithya is the starting point of said and limitless divine call of the endless integral yoga. So here in this canto, it is proposed that if one will pursue integral yoga, he has to become an ascetic and realize Brahma, Satya, Jagat, Mithya. That is the starting point of integral yoga. Then book 5, canto 2, Satyavan. So when the avatars take birth, they are different from the ordinary people. So the avatar's surface personality is divinized from their birth, which is not found in emanations, instruments of the divine. So that was his specialty, Satyavan's. So Satyavan here, Sri Aurobindo projected as a woodsman, and he has also, Sri Aurobindo has projected that he has ascended from the mundane personality to the Godhead personality. Satyavan's early days in Salva's forest land were to think, act, enjoy, and breathe like other mundane men, and yet he had a brief partial glimpse of our deeper self. So once were my days, like days of other men, to think and act was all, to enjoy and breathe. This was the width and height of mortal hope. So here Shivan the projected Satyavan as mundane person, because without the experience of divine, the mundane persons, they enjoy and breathe life. Then Sri Aurobindo projected Satyavan as moderate Satyavana, who lived in the illumined soul ray of God's torch, but was not ready to face the eternal sun of his constant embrace. Then he became ascetic Satyavan, when the surface concentration of the divine ray penetrated heart and flesh. The ascetic divine realization could not bridge the gulf between matter and spirit. When he concentrated on the world, he lost the God, and when he concentrated on God, he lost the world. With Savitri's arrival, this gulf was bridged, and the consecrated Satyavana became the king child and was able to live face the sunlight, representing Vijnana. This is a passage from mere mundane man incarnating to integral ascending Godhead of the race, or the soul of the man climbing to God and his destined savior. Satyavana's Godhead status does not prevent him from living in one house with primal beast in the forest, colloquies with the Dijin and Asuras of the subconscient world. Thus, in divine single plan, high meets the low, or the gods submit, look back on the mute abyss. Except to be so small and human on earth, this is the emergence of Lord Satyavana, for whom Savitri fought with dark Godheads in death's night. Through this sacrificial action, the highest divine consciousness of the avatar is reconciled with the lowest consciousness of earth. Sri Aurobindo reveals Satyavana is the symbol of divine love, masculine power. Divine love is an overhead energy that descends to earth through prepared human channels. When divine love enters earth's atmosphere, this love is abased and disfigured, mocked by inferior beings. Tamasic beings misunderstand divine love. Rajasic beings misuse the divine love. Sattvic beings limit the action of divine love. The dwarf mind, life, and body cannot hold ineffable divine love in its pure form. Still, this divine love is held by a soul made ready through 1,000 years, and he is still the Godhead by which all can change. So now we'll come to Book 5, Canto 3. Here there is a meeting of Satyavan and Savitri. Savitri and Satyavan's soul and nature had realized equal divine presence and merged themselves in the oneness of the wide harmony and balance. Their spirit and body were glad, fulfilled through their union, which drove them towards the discovery of love's deathless moment. Being same and richness extending over all time, their first meeting gave the most thrill by witnessing the dual avatar in a secluded shrine of earth and in the secluded chamber of their heart, who carry all the memory of their past births and their unfulfilled world tasks. From time to time, or from the beginning of the creation, earth waits patiently for this destined meeting. Each meeting after a passing of many ages brings a new promise of divine manifestation, and the new hope becomes again visible in earth's creatures. They treasure the rich relation of their brief human birth through a subtle link of union or clasp of two eternities through many successive births and bodies of an unbeginning past, and felt the call of spirit's unending future joy. Even they knew themselves older than the birth of time. The vast intention of love's unseen presence has drawn these dual incarnating powers closer in this life, and their love asks them to wait endlessly as if they have all eternity ahead for their self-fulfillment. Together they have distanced from the God's everlasting night of inconscient world and turned away from his everlasting day of Satchitananda plane, and returned to earth to wage a million wars against the universal dark rebel forces attached to the present unstable existence, to bear the earth mother sentient adversary, to bear world's intolerable wrongs, and to accomplish their double task of raising the world to God's deathless light, a permanent ascent of divine consciousness, and bringing down divine Shakti to earth and man, a permanent descent of divine consciousness. So Savitri and Satyavana, they both, their mission, and their mission was to call down the permanently the divine Shakti to the earth, and the permanent ascent of soul to the Supreme Consciousness. And here also we find that that Satyavana was staying with his father, King Dhimmatsan, who was self-exiled king of Salwa. Father of Satyavana is the divine conscious instrument, Yantra, here fallen blind, limiting his capacity of three gunas, and walks lamely on this dangerous world with slow evolutionary mental footsteps. So King Dhimmatsan was both lame and blind. So lame means this mind is a slow evolutionary instrument. So that is symbol of lame, and the eye, lost eye means he has lost the wisdom of this world. Okay, so Dhimmatsana was living in double seclusion. So Satyavan was living in double seclusion, that of an outcast from the empire of the outer light, symbolically represented as a cross upon which his faltering life supports, helplessly stumbles in the rushing speed of hasty time, and lost the comradeship of five galloping hoofs of sense that sound, touch, sight, taste, and smell, symbolically represented as his sightless blind identity. So he has lost the, you know, King Dhimmatsana was living in double seclusion. So those who will pursue integral yoga, they have to also to do sadhana in double seclusion. One is that he has to renounce the outer light of the world, and secondly, he has to renounce the sense enjoyment. So if one wants to pursue integral yoga, he can pursue integral yoga in double seclusion. Then we'll come to book 6, canto 1 and canto 2. Here, after meeting the Satyavan, so Savitri returned to the palace, and there, when she returned there, the god Narada came, and they had a meeting of Narada, king, and King Ashwapati, and Savitri's mother. This book deals with the question of fate, its source, its effect in our lives, and whether it can be conquered. It also deals with the problem of pain, the reason for its existence, and when it will leave the scene. So in this reconciliation of moderate spirituality represented by Savitri's birth mother, and ancient Vedantic spirituality represented by King Ashwapati, and the overmental spirituality of God represented by Narada are observed. Moderate spirituality aims at escaping from the problems of existence and extreme adversity through partial divine union, whereas ancient Vedantic spirituality aims at resolving the problems of existence and confronting with extreme adversity of life through comprehensive divine union. Overmental gods have a role of helping men through foreknowledge and strengthening the soul force of the strong souls and forcing the weak souls to experience spiritual fall. So here also book 6 and 2, book 6.1 and 2, both they define our fate and how the fate, how, what is the problem of pain and fate. It all describes those words, and they are very important. But our time is very short, so I'm skipping these two cantos. So here there is one important observation. Narada identifies three dwarfs, tamasic mind, rajasic mind, and sattvic mind, as hidden foe. Through these three inconscient energies, the dark and hostile forces of the nether world enter into our life. The destiny can be changed if one can go beyond their influence. Now we'll come to book 7, canto 1. So we have identified the special feature of book 7, canto 1 that have inspired our sadhana life. Firstly, we discovered that both Savitri and Satyavan were karma yogis, accepting the most practical and most difficult issue of the material life and divinized them. Secondly, we discovered the subtle physical relation between them, which will replace the transient and divisible human love. Subtle physical relations increase by changing the center of living from the surface to deep within. So here Sri Aurobindo proposes that that human love is a weak bond, so it has to be replaced by subtle physical love. So that subtle physical relation it can be developed if we develop our psychic being and spiritual being. And here also in this canto, we find the Savitri Satyavana's birth mother is identified in this epic as the smallest character, the symbolic representation of the child soul. And through her, Sri Aurobindo gives the strongest message of the true consecrated service to all earthbound aspiring child souls and their right relation with the mother soul, here symbolically represented as Savitri. Mother soul serves earth from below as a slave and from above beyond like strong sunlight, and she trespasses the bound life of child souls as strong goddesses and liberates them from their barren days. Like all other parents, Satyavana's birth mother was not aware of the doom nearing her only child and aspired for him all joy of earth and all heaven's beatitude. A similar observation is marked in King Ashwapati, who aspired to pass the mortal life of his only child Savitri unwounded, and further aspired for this young spirit untouched with tears and be possessed by all new and beautiful things. Now we'll come to Book 7, Canto 2, Parable of the Search for the Soul. So this canto concentrates on the initial approach to find the soul. Savitri's consciousness was moving between psychic and spiritual planes and also between three gunas and these psychic and spiritual planes. In her search for soul, she entered the inner worlds, leaving aside the surface world, and came across the two planes known as the world of titans and asuras. And second is the world of lower nature, of forbidden joy. They are linked with each other through the verse, man's lower nature hides these awful guests. So those who want to lead a higher life must enter the inner 10 worlds of desire souls to discover their psychic being. If they do not want to reject the untransformed lower nature, which occupies too large a place in life, and dare not to meet and confront with the dark and invisible dangerous forces, they are considered unfit to lead a higher divine life. So those who want to lead a higher divine life, they have to confront with dark forces and they have to reject the lower nature, both. Those who cannot do these two things, they are unfit for divine life. Now we'll come to Book 7, Canto 3. This is entry into inner countries. This canto concentrates on inner world. Here Savitri discovered two selves, identified as Annamaya Purusha, true physical being, soul in the body, and Pranamaya Purusha, true vital being, soul in the vital. Here also we find description of subtle physical seed and subtle vital seed and their relation with subconscious seed, and how subconscious lower untransformed nature trespass the subtle physical and subtle vital. Here we mark Savitri utilized Nama Japa, severe name, as means of sadhana, which is the capacity to transform all the invasion of lower nature into still an empty chamber and can call down peace, vast calmness, freedom and tranquility of mind. So here the sattvic mind is divided into three parts. So schoolman mind, fixed mind and outer mind. The three have three characteristics, fear, doubt and impatience respectively. And through these attributes, they limit the illimitable. So schoolmen mind as the characteristic of fear, and fixed mind as the characteristic of doubt, and an outer mind is the characteristics having of impatience. So this canto gives the message that those who are deeply dissatisfied with the limitations of schoolmen mind, fixed mind, and outer mind can trace their psychic being. This is the message. So one has to be deeply dissatisfied with the sattvic mind also, if one wants to go beyond. Now we come to Book 7, Canto 4, the Triple Soul Courses. So here, Savitri entered the inner world and came across three mother powers of subtle world who are having link with the three inconscient energies, tamas, rajas, and sattva. So these three mother powers are mother of seven sorrows, the mother of light, and the mother of might. They also aspire to retain their absolute state, their transformed state. The great hope with which the mother of seven sorrows strive to purification, transformation, and perfection of her existing limited attributes are observed in the following verse, where she will be transformed into the future as mother of seven delight. Similarly, we observe great hope in the mother of limited might, and she strives for her purification, transformation, and perfection to become mother of perfect and unlimited might. She is waiting for her days when she can guide, save, and help all humanity. Similarly, the third and the greatest mother power is the subliminal world, is the mother of limited light, strives for her purification, transformation, and perfection. Her future hope of becoming the mother of unlimited light and helping mankind to lead towards supramental light is observed. Here it is observed. This canto gives important message that for transformation of human life into divine life, the gulf between the divine consciousness and human consciousness of three gunas must be breached. That gulf can be breached in the subtle mind, subtle vital, and subtle body, which have double doors. One open towards subconscious negative energies and other open towards the superconscious affirmative energies. So their purification, transformation, universalization, and perfection are important requisites in the manifestation of divine life. So all our opposition to enter and concentrate on the inner life must be transcendent and open the doors of three mother powers for their own perfection and discovery of still powerful and more intimate psychic being. So now we have discussed the 10 desire souls. So those who can cross the lure of these above 10 desire souls, they can alone find the psychic being. Finding of the soul. So this is Book 7, Canto 5. Here, see, Savitri discovered the psychic being through the tantric method of yoga and not the Vedantic self-discipline. This tantric method is safe for developed souls, but not so safe for developing souls. Because the desire soul surrounding the psychic being is not easy to overcome, but rather it invites spiritual call. So Savitri book proposes that if a sadhaka has realized the psychic being and his consciousness learns the lesson to live in waking trance, then through movement of consciousness, he can spiritualize and supramentalize the psychic being. Then he can save and transform himself and the collectivity and world. But to realize this perfection is a long, patient action of time. Now we'll come to Book 7, Canto 6. This is Nirvana and discovery of all negating absolute. In this canto, Savitri's spiritual being opened, which is identified as a calm, slow sun, and from which overhead light invaded her whole inner and outer life. If spiritual energy enters the body in a large scale, then the body vibrates unusually or symbolically represented in Savitri, still quivering from her lover's strong embrace. Thus, matter is spirit's willing bride. With the opening of the spiritual being, she could see Satyavana's future spiritual destiny, where the dark shadow Above, his head was illumined. Above the cherished head of Satyavanos, he saw not now fate's dark and lethal orb, a golden circle round a mystic sun, disclosed to her newborn predicting sight, a cyclic rondure of sovereign life. So here at this point, Savitri discovered that Satyavanos' fate, destiny is rewritten, and now she could see light around her head. So this Brahma Satya Jagat Mithya, this realization is there in this canto. This is the first fundamental siddhi of integral yoga. But this is a little different from the Vedantic realization. This is in the mother's language. The mother speaks, the divine alone is true, all the rest is falsehood. The divine alone is real, all the rest is illusion. The divine alone is light, all the rest belongs to kingdom of death. And the divine alone is light, all the rest is semi-obscurity. The divine alone is love, all the rest is selfish sentimentality. And yet the divine is everywhere in ignorant man as well as in sage. And yet the divine is everywhere in the sinner as well as in saint. Now we'll come to the last canto, the canto 7, the discovery of cosmic spirit and cosmic consciousness. So they both, Savitri and Satyavano, had a path. That path, main method of their yoga was spiritual. Means her divine emptiness was their instrument. An impersonal emptiness worked and spoke in her. This is their method. In the previous canto, Savitri's main method of sadhana was also confirmed as spiritual. Or renew thyself that God may be. So if the mind enters a vacant state, then that is, in that vacancy, all the overhead wisdom, love, and will, divine action takes place in that vacant mind. That is their path. Ascend to the emptiness of Supreme, that all in thee may reach the Absolute. Banish all thought from thee and be God's void. This is their path, spiritual path. This canto confirms Savitri had the knowledge of past, present, and future birth known as all life, about which her surrounding world was little aware. So in Book 7, Canto 7, Savitri realized her cosmic self, which is identified as the second fundamental realization of integral yoga. In this consciousness, divine becomes dynamic and one lives in waking trance. First fundamental realization of Brahma Satya Jagat Mithya, divine is real and world is an illusion. Second fundamental realization is world, which appears to be false, is created from Brahman. And third fundamental realization is Brahma Satya Jagat Satya. And Brahman consciousness can penetrate the material life and divine is life. So this is the cosmic consciousness is the second realization of integral yoga. This canto also hints that attainment of cosmic consciousness is also the beginning of subconscious transformation. So the opening of higher selves like psychic, spiritual, and supramental selves are utilized exclusively for the purification, transformation, and perfection of untransformed nature. These are the hidden agendas of cosmic consciousness, which are utilized for both self-concentration and self-expansion. So now we have discussed quickly from book three to this book 7. So the book 7 was related with Savitri's yoga, and Savitri pursued this yoga in a tantric method. That means first he discovered our psychic being, then our spiritual being, then universal being. So this is a method for developed souls. And Satyavanos yoga was a Vedantic sacrifice. That means first, King Ashwapati yoga was Vedantic sacrifice. So King Ashwapati first discovered his spiritual being, then his psychic being. Then his consciousness was universalized and supramentalized. So we get the the message from this book that if one will want to meet great adversity in life, then he has to go through these planes of consciousness. And if you will, beyond this universal consciousness is the supramental plane. And those who have gone to supramental plane, they alone can enter the subconscient and inconscient night. So that is the home of the dead souls. So living souls cannot go that world, and only those who have supramental at their disposal, they can go to that world. So tomorrow we'll discuss that, the death of Satyavana in the forest, and the subconscient and inconscient transformation, and Savitri's permanent ascent to everlasting day of Satchitananda consciousness, and permanent descent of Satchitananda consciousness to earth consciousness. That we will discuss tomorrow. With this, I conclude. Om Tat Sat.